Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, where we take rock-solid frozen cold chats, put them in the microwave of humour for 5 seconds, and get a perfect scoop of conversation. That was good, man.
I'm just thinking, I think you've done a microwave one before, but then maybe not. Maybe
I don't think I have.
Benito uses the microwave sound effect for the episode.
I've not done the microwave one. I've definitely not done... Yeah.
Bing.
All right, mate. Don't show if you've listened to another one.
Three now.
I don't think I've used the microwave before. Certainly not within the rock solid, hard conversation. Because what I'm saying is sometimes conversations can be hard, but we use our microwaves of humour and we soften our guest and then get a big old scoop of conversation out of them. And I think that's actually one of the best ones I've ever done.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I was just trying to think like what you. I don't know if I'd put something in the microwave and then. Afterwards, it would be scoopable, like
Then you only put it in for 5 seconds, right?
Ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair enough. I like a soft ice cream more than a rock hard one.
Do you?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't put it in the microwave.
Yeah, I would put it in the microwave. Yeah, I would.
All right. But you just said you wouldn't.
I would. I relate to it 100%.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
James Acaster here.
Ed Gamble here.
The Off Menu Boys. We're welcoming you to the Dream Restaurant along with a special guest. And we're going to ask them their favourite ever start, a main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our special guest is... Mira Sayal!
Mira Sayal, a wonderful writer, comedian, performer, broadcaster.
National treasure.
We've had a lot of national treasures on recently.
We've had quite a few national treasures. We better buy ourselves a national treasure chest, you know what I mean? Keep all these national treasures in it.
Put them all in there, but give them plenty of room to stretch their legs, because they deserve it. They deserve a first-class chest experience.
Yeah, absolutely. First-class chest experience.
Yes.
Mira Sayal was amazing. She's a hero of ours, and we're very excited to have her on the podcast.
Yes.
But if Mira chooses a secret ingredient that... Well, normally, traditionally, it's an ingredient that we don't like, then we will kick her out of the Dream Restaurant. So this week, it's a little tip of the cap... to one of our favourite Goodness Gracious Me sketches. So this week, the secret ingredient is... An English.
If she picks an English, she will be removed from the restaurant.
Yes. No going out for an English, please, Mira. Otherwise, we'll have to kick you out. But, you know, the silver lining is we would get to discuss that sketch, which would be fun, wouldn't it? As two students of comedy.
When I was actually a student, we didn't do this, but I always wanted to pretend that I didn't know the point of going for an English and perform a sketch where we took going for an English and flipped it round. No one would let me do it, which is really sad.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds good. I mean, who was in your sketch group again?
Nish.
Nish, yeah. Nish, Tom Neenan.
Yeah, Nish Tom Neenan, Pete Riley, Anna Yaddy, yeah. Katie Barker.
The Durham Review.
The Durham Review. Classic stuff from some classic guys.
I never got to see the Durham Review when you guys were all in it. Heard a lot of the sketches described by you lot. Mm-hmm. And definitely sounds like I would find it hilarious, providing I knew you at the time.
That was very much the vibe. We do runs in Edinburgh, and the shows that went down the best are the ones where all the people from Durham came.
Yeah. Because they're like, oh, great, these guys have deliberately made this sketchy
these guys.
Rubbish.
Yeah. Nish playing a film noir detective. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a bad name, I'd imagine. All of your names. I remember hearing about Nish playing a Scottish person in an Edinburgh sketch and calling himself, was it Haggis McNish?
Haggis McNish. That wasn't in the Durham Review. That was when we did a stand-up show and Nish would do his set. And then I'd say, we want to make the stand-up show a little bit different. So we're going to send Nish out into Edinburgh and he's going to buy a disguise and he's going to try and come back in here in disguise. And he'd go out and then he'd come back in 10 minutes later with a ginger wig on, one of those tourist hats.
Tell me, Shanta.
And pretend to be a man called Haggis McNish, and I'd pretend that I'd fallen for it.
Imagine going to see that.
It was brilliant. He does similar stuff now, I've heard.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he hasn't strayed far from that. We should probably start the episode.
Yes, please. I'm very much looking forward to having Mira in the Dream Restaurant. So hopefully she doesn't pick an English.
Yes, hopefully not. But also, I hope that we get to chat to her about Code 404. New series of that is out on Sky Comedy, so I'm very excited. Hopefully we can dig into that and talk about it. She's fantastic in it. She plays a right rotter.
She does play a right rotter, but hopefully she's not a right rotter in real life.
Fingers crossed.
This is the off-menu menu of Mira Sayal. Welcome, Mira, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's very posh.
Welcome, Mira Sayal, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Here we go. Less posh now, unfortunately, after the arrival of the Kettering genie, spoiling the atmosphere.
Thanks for dressing up.
Yeah. Thank you, mate. Thank you. Yes, a pleasure. Can you explain to the listeners what I'm wearing? Because everyone sees the genie differently. People imagine the genie in different clothes. To you, what does your genie look like at this particular meal?
James is a genie in this. We should have explained that. It's quite a high concept at the beginning, but don't worry, it won't come up again.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I would like you to be dressed in a very smart Nehru jacket.
Yes.
And billowy trousers, but not the curly shoes, because I think that's going a bit far. Bit cliched.
No problem.
I now understand that you said billowy trousers there. Initially, I thought you said billowy trousers, and I thought, what other type of trousers are there?
There are uppy trousers.
Yeah, they're uppy
also
trousers.
Also known as a wedgie. Yeah. I mean, take your pick.
Whenever I wear a Nehru collar, Nish Kumar tells me that I'm ripping him off, though.
Oh.
So if you put me in that, I've got one top that has that kind of collar, and every time I wear it, Nish gets angry and says, I'm stealing his thing, and it's his thing.
Oh, dear.
So if you do put me in that top, I'm going to be in trouble with him.
You are. You're going to be accused of cultural reappropriation.
Maybe.
Yes.
You can't win, really. Then it's an Iron Maiden T-shirt, then, I suppose. Stick to your culture, mate. That's what I say.
That was amazing in the moment. Was an Iron Maiden T-shirt the whitest thing you could think of?
Yes. Yes.
I think you nailed it. I think you absolutely got it.
T-shirts abound.
I love Iron Maiden, just for the record.
Ed does love Iron Maiden.
I do love Iron Maiden.
Do you love a bit of heavy metal?
I do.
I just recently watched The Story of Anvil. Wow.
It's great, isn't it?
And you keep thinking, is it a spoof? But it's not.
Mm. No, they're very real people. And for a while, that band got quite good slots on festivals because of that film. And now I assume they're just back to where they started in the film again.
But the commitment, it's heartbreaking and also magnificent. I mean, it's just a great, great documentary.
That's how James feels as a genie sometimes, isn't it, James?
Yeah, I'm committed to it. I try really hard and still some people fail to recognise me as a genie. Sad life, actually.
Do you hang out in a lamp?
Yeah, I do hang out in a lamp. I burst out the lamp at the beginning of the podcast. You probably weren't looking, but like I was in a lamp and then I burst out of it.
And then you burst out.
Yeah. So you missed that. But like I was inside a lamp originally.
And then he had to go back in the lamp very quickly and change his Nehru collar for an Iron Maiden T-shirt.
Yes. Very quickly.
Suits you, sir.
Thank you very much. Mira, would you consider yourself a foodie at all?
Totally. Gosh, yeah, I love food. Love it. Love it too much. Just mainly have overeaten through most of my life just because, you know, there's so much to sample and taste. But I'm not, I can't say I'm an expert on fine dining, actually. I haven't been to a lot of the, you know, the tick list restaurants you're meant to go to. But I do love sampling other people's home cooking. I do love that.
Who are some of the best cooks you know, your friends who are like the top? The top ones. Who, if you get an invite around their house, you're like, oh, man.
Oh, well, it has to be writer Tanika Gupta, who's one of my dear friends and lives up the road. Luckily for me, she gives me doggy bags. But honestly, everything she cooks, whether it's, you know, a curry from scratch or an amazing cake, she does it. It's that effortless way that I really, she sort of ambles around the kitchen talking to you and cracking jokes. And all of a sudden, there's this amazing meal that she seems to have rustled up from half an onion and a bag of lentils, and you go, I don't know how you did that.
The effortless thing is always amazing to me, because when I cook something, if I'm really going for it, you know there's going to be absolute anger and hatred poured into that meal. Every single last mouthful of that is going to be fueled by my just rage. That's how I cook. How are you, Mira? When you cook, are you an angry cook? Are you a chilled cook? Somewhere in the middle?
I think I'm quite a chilled cook because I cook a lot. I cook pretty much every night. We probably have a takeaway a week. And because my mum lives with us, I often end up cooking Indian food because that's what she likes best. And now I've got it down to a fine art. But I find cooking meditative, actually, and particularly baking. I don't know. When I want to learn my lines, I bake a cake.
Really?
Because I find that if I've got the lines sitting there, but I'm actually doing something else with another part of my brain, it goes in better. And I can't tell you why, but it seems to.
A good tip.
That's great.
I find it impossible. I mean, Ed and I have auditions, right, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
We don't get the parts.
No.
But we do a lot of auditions, so we're familiar with trying to learn lines.
It's good to practice, though, Mira, you know. It's just good to practice. Keep practicing for, you know, I'd say 15 years. And then one day the right audition will come along and I'll mess that up.
I can't believe you have to audition. That's shocking. Should just be asking you.
Well, we're very bad actors, so that's the main reason.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very poor actors.
Very poor actors. Auditioning is just a pain at the moment, though, because it's all on Zoom. And, you know, so much is about, have you got the right equipment? And are you lit nicely? Generally, that's a no on both counts because you're frazzled and you've got loads of lines to learn. And then sometimes your teenage son or your mother reading in the other lines. And the worst thing is actually what you can't do in a Zoom audition, and I know we've had to do that because of the times we live in, is that you can only do one take on the part you're going up for. Mm-hmm. What you can't show the other people looking at you is that I could actually do this take five different ways had I been in the room with the director.
Yeah.
But I've got to make a decision now about the role. And if it's the wrong one, if it's not how you saw it, then it's gone already. And that's a bit frustrating, I think.
Yeah.
You've baked a whole cake for that.
And I've baked a whole bloody cake. I do get the cake at the end, though, which is some consolation.
Every time Mira Sayal auditions, she's always got crumbs around her mouth. Have you noticed that? Her face is covered in crumbs and like buttercream. Have you noticed that? Oh, God, it's just a choice she makes for the role, I guess. I'm not sure.
One day the perfect part of a baker is going to come along, Mira, and you're going to smash that audition.
I'm so waiting to be asked to go on, you know, celebrity bake-off thingy, whatever it is, just because I actually like baking.
Oh, steer clear.
Is it too much hassle?
It's a waking nightmare. Steer clear of it. They stitch you up.
What I would say, Mira, is James's experience on Celeb Bake Off is not the experience I'd say anyone else has ever had on it.
You fronted it out, James, which is all you can do.
Try to front it out. I was spiraling. They don't help you. They just watch you drown in your own cake batter. Oh, yeah, they loved it.
Had you ever baked before that traumatic experience?
Good question.
Not really.
Not really.
Really? It didn't show, mate.
Help my mum as a kid sometimes because I wanted to eat the cake mix.
Obviously.
And I did one practice round of my flapjacks before going on Bake Off with my sister. It went really well, so I thought that was the easiest thing I've ever had to do, bake those flapjacks. So I was like, no more practicing then. That's fine. And I turned up on the day, and everyone else was like, I've practiced, you know, 16 times or whatever. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Must not be getting much work outside of that.
You can tell some people have been in heavy training for weeks, though, can't you? You just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because also they're just, they enjoy baking at home. So they was like, yeah, I've done all these different practices. So that's because they loved it. And I saw it as work and tried to avoid it, turned up on the day and got my ass handed to me.
No, do you know what? But that's why people watch it. It's for the ass handing bits. It's not for the expert cake bits. So
it should be called celebrity ass handing, really, shouldn't it?
It should, really. Yeah, it's not as catchy, maybe. Yeah.
Is there a specific cake that you like to make when you learn your lines,
or is
it a whole range of cakes?
There are There are a couple of cakes I can do pretty much with my eyes closed. One is lemon drizzle, and the other is brownies, really nice, sticky, gooey brownies. So those I can got down to a fine art now.
Next question. What is your address?
You're very welcome anytime. I'm that annoying actor that takes cakes to the rehearsal room, but I found it's a really great way of breaking the ice.
I don't think that's annoying, Mira.
I don't know. Do you remember Nigel Planer's book, I, an Actor?
No.
Which is all about a Ponzi actor, and he's got a recipe in there for rehearsal cheesecake to break the ice, which has got ingredients in it like squirrel skin and quince. But I hope I'm not that actor, but I do find that there is nothing like feeding people to start everyone talking.
That's not annoying at all, Mira. I'd imagine you're the absolute toast of the town when you bring in a lemon drizzle to a rehearsal room. That sounds incredible. I'm going to start working harder on my auditions if that's the sort of thing that happens when you get the part.
Yeah. I didn't know there's cake at the end of it. Yes, please. Does your mum like your cooking and your cakes now that she lives with you?
Yes. Yeah, she loves a cake. She's got a really sweet tooth. Because she never, I mean, I wasn't brought up with baking. It's not an Indian thing at all. In fact, for years, I thought the oven was a place you stored your pans. I didn't actually know it did anything because we just never baked. But I grew up in this mining village surrounded, and it was a bit sort of, you know, it's not quite Enid Blyton, very working class Enid Blyton, but a bit kind of rurally. And, you know, I had lots of old ladies living around me that all used to bake for the church fete. And that's how I learned. I learned from little old ladies. So my next door neighbour would be making a cake or jam tarts from scratch with blackberries she'd picked. And I'd stand by her and watch her. And that's how I learned. So it was pretty good training, actually.
It's good. Always stalk an old lady.
Because that's the only way to learn how to bake, really, isn't it? From old ladies, right?
I think so.
So how did the first person learn how to bake? Because was there just an old lady who was born and she knew how to bake straight away? Because there's got to be a time when there wasn't an old lady knocking around, right?
Yeah, you're very right. That's a very existential question.
Right, yeah.
Which I'm not sure I can answer.
Yeah, what came first, the cake or the old lady? It's the old question.
Yeah, maybe there was a cake and an old lady burst out of it, you know, like a surprise, like a birthday.
Like a stag party surprise.
Yeah, but they're like, how long has she been in there? She's so old. Did you bake a cake when learning your lines for Code 404 is the question.
Oh, nice segue.
Pretty good.
Probably. I imagine I probably did, but I couldn't tell you what cake it was. Yeah, yes, it would have been a bitter cake because I was playing a bitter character. It would have been something with dark chocolate and spikes in it, I think. that was a really, really fun part. I don't get offered many sort of purely wrong-uns. And it was just great to play someone who you never knew what side of the law she was on, because she's a lawyer that comes from a criminal family. So she knows both worlds really intimately. Mm-hmm. And I got to eyeball Stephen Graham in a very dead-eye sharky way, which is very exciting. He won, obviously.
Oh, did he?
That's got to be one of the dreams, to dead-eye Stephen Graham, just to have the opportunity to do that within a part. Because, you know, in real life, that's never going to happen for any of us, right?
You just wouldn't dare, would you?
No,
you
absolutely dare.
I would not. I would.
You wouldn't.
Would you dare?
Yeah, I'd do it. I saw him on Jonathan Ross once having a go at Ramesh, and I was like, if I ever see that guy, I'm going to dead eye him minimum.
What's your maximum with him, though?
Punch him in the head?
I would do it. You wouldn't last a second, mate.
He wouldn't.
Well, let's see.
Can I just tell you, he's completely ripped as well.
Yeah, well, he's going to be ripped to pieces.
He's really ripped. We had to do a bit of a stunt, which involved running and jumping and guns and helicopters. Very exciting. Oh. And he sprinted from one end of a runway to the other in about 3 seconds flat without barely breathing. I was like, my God.
He'll have to run quicker than that when I see him. He'll have to run quicker.
It's not sounding very convincing,
no.
I have to tell you.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I don't think we will.
I'll pass the message on, shall
yeah,
I?
Yeah, do.
Yes.
If you, I mean, if you know, send him an email, please, Mira. That would be great. If you just say, James Acaster says he can tear you to pieces, I believe.
Yeah, I will do that. You'll be hearing from him, I'm sure.
And you'll have to run fast when you see him. That's what he said as well. Make sure to pass that on.
How many courtroom characters have you played now, Mira? Because, like, before we get into your main menu, I'm thinking you played a judge, right?
Yeah, I've played a few. I played a judge in Broadchurch. And I played a prosecuting barrister in Paddington 2. I had to prosecute Hugh Grant, yes. Which was just a career highlight, frankly.
What a film.
The man just improvises all the time. You can't stop him. And every improvisation is bloody genius. I mean, just brilliant. Yeah.
I have a feeling, though, on that film, Hugh Grant was having the absolute best time of his entire career, though. Yeah.
You could tell, couldn't you?
I'm not sure he's riffing on every job he's doing, but Paddington 2, he was absolutely losing his mind. He was so excited. You could tell.
Maybe for similar reasons to you, on Code 404, he got to play a baddie and quite enjoyed that, maybe. Is there something more cathartic about that, about playing a wrong'un?
Oh, gosh, yeah, totally. It's really hard to play good and it's really hard to play glam. I mean, those are two things. Nobody really asks me much about the glam bit now, but you think, oh, no, that's hours in makeup. They're going to have to work really hard to make me look even vaguely glam. And like everyone says, the devil has the best lines. You know, the most interesting, complex characters are really flawed and unpredictable. So, of course, we want to play them.
That's like you, Ed.
What? Complex and flawed?
And unpredictable, yeah.
I wouldn't say that's true at all. I'm a lovely good boy.
Okay.
No? If I was a cake, James, what would I be?
Flawed cake? Flawed and unpredictable cake.
One of your cakes from Bake Off.
Yeah, you would be my flapjacks from Bake Off.
I'd be a liquid flapjack soup, would I? What a lovely compliment.
Congratulations.
Bon appetit.
Would you like still or sparkling water, Mira?
Sparkling, please.
No, you'd say it's hard to be glam, and yet you've gone for the glamest water choice.
Have I gone for the glamest water?
Oh, this is full of pizzazz, the sparkling water.
It's full of pizzazz, although I read somewhere that sparkling water can give you cellulite. Is that true?
Tell us about this. I've not heard this.
Yeah, it's one of those random facts I remember reading saying, you know, if you have too much sparkling water, you'll get orange peel thighs. It's not stopped me, though. I do enjoy it. It just makes me feel like I'm out because I wouldn't have it at home.
So when you're out, you have sparkling water.
I do.
Have you ever tried having it at home to give yourself the feeling of being out even though you're at home?
Well, of course, in lockdown, we were all doing that, weren't we? We had to pretend we were out. So, yeah, I think we cracked open a couple of bottles in the kitchen over lockdown. But, yeah, it's not. Yeah, normally I'm quite happy with tap water, to be honest. But, yes, when I'm out, I do like a bit of sparkling water, yes.
What are orange peel thighs?
Orange peel thighs? Oh, God, guys don't get cellulite, do you? Not really.
Guess not.
Don't you know that kind of looks like...
I understand the idea.
You understand the concept. It's like cottage cheesy sort of ripples on your flesh.
Uh-huh.
Although I like cottage cheese and I like oranges. So if anything, I'm going to start slamming the sparkling water. Yeah.
Sparkling water does that. Do you want anything in the sparkling water? Like ice or some fruit?
I would like some ice and a couple of thinly cut slices of lime, please.
You got to be careful because if you have too much lime, you get lime peel thighs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you get green thighs.
Green
real
thighs.
Bad stuff, actually.
You
yeah.
really don't want that.
That's a good point. Imagine this, Mira. You wake up one morning and your thighs have been replaced with a citrus fruit. Which fruit would you choose of the citrus family? And we're talking lemons, limes, grapefruits, oranges. What other ones are there?
I'm going to surprise you now and say kumquat.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, yes.
You didn't predict that, did you?
Didn't predict it.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think we were even sure that was definitely a citrus fruit. So you've absolutely sideswiped us there, Mira. Why specifically the kumquat?
Because they're small.
So are you imagining yourself with just, instead of thighs, just two
very
kumquats?
Small kumquats. Yeah.
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 And if your thighs were a place of kumquats and you were doing exercises at home, you could do quad squats as well.
You could do squat. I can't even say that. Very good.
I'm annoyed James got that in there because I had that bubble.
You had that in your head as well?
Because I was going to say cum squats and that sounds way worse. So I'm glad you went with squat.
Disgusting.
So actually, I'm glad you did yours. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
It's all right. We'll edit that bit out. You're all right.
Yeah, please. Yeah. If you can edit the cum squats out, that would be great.
That's going to be the main bit of the podcast. You deserve it.
Pop-nobs or bread? Pop-nobs or bread, Mira Sile? Pop-nobs or bread?
Pop-nobs? Pop-nobs?
Pop-nobs or bread?
Oh, pop-a-dums or bread? Bread. Bread. I'm a bread freak. Bread of any kind.
Yeah?
Yes, please. Crustier the better.
Now, occasionally, Mira, the guests will mishear what James says there because he always shouts it.
Does he?
But I don't think anyone's heard pop-nobs before.
I thought pop-nobs. I thought it was a cross between a pop-a-dum and a hobnob.
Pop-nobs.
Not a bad idea.
But what kind of restaurant am I in? Some kind of weird fusion, culturally appropriated place. Get out of here.
Well, he's had his Nehru collar on and now he's trying to sell you a pop-nob.
Appropriating pop-a-dums. This is just, yeah. I'm going.
Walking around, greeting people at the door. Welcome to pop-nobs and cum squats. Sit down. What kind of bread would you like?
I very much like crusty bread with a soft yielding centre. So, you know, a really good French loaf or some of those lovely slightly warm rolls that when you break them open, the steam comes out and then you can put the butter in it and the butter melts. That kind.
Have you had a French loaf in France?
Yes, my gosh. They taste different, don't they? It's the water and the flour and everything else, isn't it? It does.
It's the ambiance.
But also I love the fact that everybody eats piles of bread and nobody cares. Nobody's going, oh, carbs. They just eat piles of bread.
Yeah, and they drink wine in little glasses, walking around, drinking wine, eating bread, looking amazing.
Looking amazing.
Really. Yeah.
Wearing a scarf in a million different ways that you couldn't even begin to even do once. I mean, I don't know how the innate sense of style that they have is there, but it is. Yeah.
If you were staying in Paris and you lived above or on the same street as a bakery and you could go down every morning and get yourself a baguette, do you think you could walk from the baker's to your back to your house without nibbling the baguette out the bag that was sticking at the top?
Oh, no. I've even done that when I brought things back from shopping. Yeah, I've broken the end of the bread and eaten it in the car while I've been driving. That's just really bad, isn't it?
Would you ever do it before you've paid for it? Some people do that.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Have I ever done that? No, I probably haven't, no.
What do you think of the people who do that?
I respect their choices. As long as you pay for it. It's all right.
Because sometimes people do that with their kids, right? They'll pick something off the shelf in the supermarket, they'll give it to their kids, and their kids will eat it when they're going around the shop, and then they'll make the person scan an empty bag. Yet when you do it and you've got no kids, you get frowned upon.
That's a very fair point. I think maybe they give concessions to under fives, though.
Yeah, they do let them get away with it. But yeah. I just wonder whether I could get away with going into the supermarket, eating a bag of crisps, and that's the only thing I take to the checkout. Whether I essentially go and use it as a cafe, whether that would fly.
Not unless you've been threatening to have a tantrum unless you got the crisps, because that's why people have given things to their kids in the aisles of Sainsbury's, is to stop them melting down.
Well, in that scenario, I would have to go into the supermarket, out loud threaten myself with a tantrum,
yeah,
and then give myself a bag of crisps, eat the crisps, and then check out the bag of crisps. So I'd look insane, I'd say.
It's not outside the realms of possibility.
That's true.
I bet Stephen Graham eats food when he walks around the supermarket.
You wouldn't stop him, would you?
I would.
I wouldn't.
I would stop him. I'd see him moving the food towards his mouth. I would grab his wrist and say, not so fast.
And then he'd dead-eye you.
Yeah.
And you'd be very, very frightened.
It'd be the last thing he did if he tried that.
James, he would fold you up and put you in that bag of crisps and then put it back on the shelf.
Lovely. I'd love to be in a bag of crisps. Thank you very much. Done me a favour.
You could live in a bag of crisps instead of a lamp.
That would be good, actually, wouldn't it? That
it would
be good.
Really
nice. Pop out with all, then all the crisps would go everywhere.
Did you used to do that when you were a kid? When you had a bag of crisps and somebody wanted one, and then you'd quickly smash them all up into little tiny pieces. So when you offered the bag, all they could take was a tiny crumb. Did you ever do that? Was that just me?
No, but I love it.
Never did that. I absolutely love that. I wish I'd thought of that.
It must be a Midland thing.
Well, I'm from the Midlands. I'm from Kettering. But we didn't do it there.
You never did that. Maybe it's just a particular West Midland thing then.
We just said no. We weren't the most generous of kids in Kettering.
Do you think you could do that as an adult? Maybe when you're in the pub, bring a bag of crisps back. You know how people do they tease it open and like splay it out like a little plate? Do you think instead of doing that, you just slam your fist on it so it's just powder and then open it up and go, good luck.
Yeah. That's quite a good pub game, actually, isn't it? Maybe you should give everyone a straw and see if they can suck the bits up through a straw.
You got a favourite flavour of crisps before we move on?
Really boringly, I like a plain crisp, actually. I don't think you should embellish it too much.
I'm into that.
Maybe a bit of black pepper on it, the black pepper crisps. Yeah, I'm not into heavily flavoured, like, prawny, barbecue-y things. No.
Yeah, more and more. I've really grown to appreciate the ready salted crisp.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be all about the wacky flavours, but these days, yeah, I keep gravitating towards the ready salted and going, oh, there's a beauty to this.
I think it's a sign of age.
This is like being like a ration meeting in the 1940s. What's going on here? Both of you going, oh, no, I just love the plain flavour, like the potato to come through, actually. Unbelievable. Doing the Midlands a disservice. I grew up in London. I like truffle crisps. Thank you.
He does.
Actually, they are quite good, though, aren't they?
Thank you, Mary. Yes, they are. The black truffle Torres crisps are the best crisps in the world.
It's like they're like crack, aren't they? Just once you open it, that's it. You're done.
Yeah, full big bag.
Full big bag.
Down. Mm-mm. During lockdown, I found out that supermarket around the corner from me had them on Deliveroo. So quite often if I was hungover and I couldn't really be bothered to leave the house, I'd get a full Deliveroo shop full of stuff I didn't need just justify just buying a big bag of the crisps. Oh, down in one breath. Amazing.
I hear you.
Get all upset about it and throw a wobbly in the middle of the supermarket. Let's move on to your dream meal proper and start with your dream starter.
My dream starter would be an Indian street food dish called chaat. C-H-A-A-T, and there's various versions of it, like aloo papri chaat. Let me describe it to you. It's like bits of potato and chickpea mixed with fresh onion, coriander, ginger garlic, some spices. And then on top of that, you have yogurt and tamarind sauce. And then right on top of that, you have these little crispy things, a bit like crisps, called papri. And it's all together in a bowl of just fantastic layered flavours. And it literally is street food. It's what you can grab from a stall on your way to work or on your way back. But it's just one of my favourite things because there's just so many different sensations in one little bowl.
Oh, it does sound absolutely amazing. Straight away.
Oh, and mint chutney as well. Put that on top too. It's just delicious.
I've had a Mowgli, which is like a chain. There's one in Liverpool, one in Birmingham, and they do chaat bombs, which are almost like, is it called gold guppers?
Very good, golgappa, yeah. So the little flying saucers.
Yeah, it's like a combination of the two. So inside is the charts, but like, and that's probably the first time I had anything that's like that.
Did you like it?
I was really addicted to it. I was then like obsessed with where Mowgli's were around the UK because I was on tour at the time. So I was like, is there a Mowgli nearby? And go and get those bombs again.
Do you know, they're not difficult to make at home. Not the actual little golgappe. I buy those from, you can buy them. But the mixture that goes inside, you can make pretty easily. You just need chickpeas and boil up some potatoes, and then you buy the various spices and you're off.
Where's the best place that you've ever had this dish? Is there, like, if you wanted it from a specific place?
Could even be your own.
Maybe it
could even be your own. I do make a very good aloo papri chaat, I have to say, but Dishoom. Dishoom do a great chaat. But also, surprisingly, when you go to these little off-piste places in places like Wembley or Southall or Green Street in the East End, these are all London places, but generally you will always find, a little family-run restaurant that does the best chaat if you're willing to just be a little bit adventurous. But Dishoom is very, very good chaat. Yeah, they do loads of things very well, actually.
You mentioned a lot of London places there. Jess Phillips, elected MP Jess Phillips, has been on the podcast, and she claimed there was no good curry places in London at all. What would you say to that?
Goodness, that's a big challenge.
Yeah.
Well,
she's from Birmingham.
I know, and I know what she means.
She was really flying the flag for Birmingham.
Oh, yeah. No, Birmingham's got some of the best curry houses, I would say worldwide, never mind Britain-wide, that's true. But there's a particularly famous sort of area around about Soho Road and Sparkbrook around there, which do Balti, literally means bucket, but you don't eat out of a bucket, don't worry. But they do really amazing, very quickly cooked different curries in sort of large, they look like woks really. And the secret is that you cook everything quite quickly still. And you get these giant naans. They're called gurik naans. And you can get one that is literally, you can't see my hands, but literally the size of the dining table. Mm. And you all share it. And it's like, it's just like being with a bunch of caterpillars. Everybody just gets an end and just munches that way to the middle. It's such a, see, the, it's a communal experience of eating that that is so much fun. And it breaks loads of barriers when you go along. So, the curry houses around there are amazing. But yes, she's right. It's a very good place to eat Indian food.
I don't think I would have a good time eating that naan with everyone else because I'm very greedy and I immediately want to know what bit of the food is mine so I can get it all. So what I would do is I'd start eating that naan and I'd try and go the fastest out of everyone and I'd be across the other side of the table before anyone else had taken the bite.
Some people do that because they're frightened it's going to run out. Do you come from a big family? Is that why? Did you have to fight for food at the table?
No, I'm an only child.
Oh my God. Well, that makes no sense then.
I think it explains everything, Mira.
I have a half brother and half sister, but I didn't grow up with them. So, yes, only child.
They were full brothers and full sisters, but Ed ate them.
Yeah.
Ed ate half of them.
Yeah. That's why they're a half brother and half sister, right? The top of my sister and the bottom of my brother. is there a chance, Mira, when everyone's nibbling on the naan from all different sides?
The giant naan, yeah.
The giant naan, that they would all meet in the middle and accidentally Lady and the Tramp at the end of the meal? Mm.
Nicely.
Oh, that'd be romantic, wouldn't it?
Depends who you're with, I suppose.
It does depend who you're with. Yeah. It's a little awkward if it's, you know, your brother-in-law.
Family. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's never happened to me, but then I think, you know, it's descended into a free-for-all before we've reached that point. But generally the great thing about an eating experience like this is the food is in the middle of the table in the pans, you know, there's no formalities. So nobody worries that there isn't enough. And I've only got this little bit of nouveau cuisine on my plate. It just doesn't work like that. It's like there's a load of food. You eat with your fingers. It's a sensual experience. Just get stuck in there and ask for more if you want it. And that's how that's how I like eating, actually.
I always worry that what if there's not enough? And what if this is the last time I ever eat this food? So I have to go for it.
Are you a survivalist? Have you got a secret bunker with lots of tinned food?
No, I think in an apocalyptic situation, I think I might be the first one to die. Because if I did have any tins, I'd eat all my tins day one. Yeah. And then I'd be too full when the zombies came. I'm assuming it's zombies. Yeah.
See, I'm the opposite. Because like the biggest fear that anybody has in my culture is to not have enough food. It's a ridiculous thing. And you completely overfeed people. And then you get offended when they say, I'm full after eating for 3 hours. You go, you're full? You're full? This is the first course. And this is how over much I cater, that when the lockdown was sort of first coming and everyone was panic buying, friend was round and she went, oh, I see you've stocked up already. Go out and look at that. And I went, no, this is my usual cupboard. I have 36 tins of tinned tomatoes because I will need them in the week. I have 50 toilet rolls because I will need them. So yeah, bulk buying all the way.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good, or a digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes, my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main, then, is it something that would be like, you know, a shared dish, or is this just for you?
I had a real difficulty with this, but I thought, what is the thing I've most enjoyed eating over the last couple of years? And I'm going to say paella or paella, because I had the best paella I've ever had in Barcelona a couple of years ago. And I still think about it. Is that sad? But I actually enjoy remembering eating that paella. And maybe because of where it was, you know, on the beach. It was a restaurant right next to the beach in Barcelona. Barcelona friends had taken us there and said, you will never eat better paella. And you go, yeah. And they were right. It was just amazing. Wow. And it had the little sofrito bit at the bottom, you know, that sort of crackly bit that forms at the bottom of the pan.
Yeah.
I can't remember how much I ate, but I had to be rolled out of there. But I couldn't stop eating it. Every single layer of flavour was just amazing. And, of course, all the, you know, it was a fish one, because I don't eat meat. So it was chock full of the best seafood, because it was all fresh and probably caught this morning. And yes, it'll be that, please.
Yeah. That is the first shout out we've had for paella on the podcast. Would you believe it? After 100 and something episodes. And what a good choice. I've not had paella in ages.
I have it all the time.
You don't have it all the time, mate.
I do.
What are you talking about?
My girlfriend, all the way through lockdown, has been perfecting her paella. That is true.
Wow.
And told me this.
Yeah, and just we've had it pretty regularly. Keeps getting better. Delicious.
That's amazing.
Eat it out the pan while watching TV. Sharing it together from the pan.
Does she get the crispy bit on the bottom?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you have in yours?
Chicken and prawns. Actually, no, chicken. And then I've realised that I've imagined the prawns. It's chicken. But chicken and like loads of, I think I'm thinking of how the red peppers are cut. They look like prawns, but there's loads of red peppers in there.
She's absolutely fooled you, mate.
Yeah, she's tricked me.
And has she got a proper paella pan?
Yeah. Yeah, well, kind of. Yeah, it is like a beginner's one, I'd say.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's me too. I've only got a beginner's one. It's huge, though. You have to have four gas rings on to keep moving it around so it cooks properly.
But yeah, I love hearing the shout out for the paella. I know we've definitely mentioned paella before on the podcast, because I said about how I was really obsessed with the Tesco paella that you could buy for a while.
Oh, yes.
I would regularly eat that when I was like, when I first moved to London, I'd get that. It was it's probably the best ready meal I've ever had. And I would have it pretty regularly because it was delicious. But I couldn't remember if it was Tesco or Sainsbury's. And do you know what? I was told this was boring the first time I said it on the podcast.
How big was the pan that they made the paella in when you saw it? Because they get pretty damn big.
Huge. I mean, there was five of us around the table, six of us maybe even, and we all, you know, we couldn't finish it.
So again, this is something else that you're all sat around and you're just eating your way towards the middle. It's another communal eating experience, right?
Well, yeah, because I think that's what food's about. Yeah. You know, food is just better when it's shared, and I think food brings us all together, and I think food is also, it's soul food, because the recipes that I, you know, the Indian food I make, the recipes I have are things that my mum made for me and her mum made for her. And I feel that I'm really linked to my past, and all those flavours are part of who I am. And so eating that food and making that food is more than just, oh, it's fuel. It's loads of other things as well.
Mm. When you make things for your mum that your mum in the past has made for you, do you ever put any little twists in? Do you ever put your own stamp on it, or would she be angry about that?
Oh, no, you adapt all the time. I mean, particularly because, you know, a lot of traditional Indian dishes, if you follow the traditional recipe, you are literally there for 4 hours stirring. And who's got the time to do that? So I do loads of shortcuts. Sometimes she doesn't know. Sometimes she really does. And she'll sort of go, She'll still eat it, though. But, yeah, I mean, we just don't have the time that our mothers did, nor the inclination, frankly. I mean, I don't want to spend half my life in a kitchen. I want to be able to make the food as quickly and as well as I can and then sit and eat it with my friends and enjoy it. So gone are those days when the mums used to stand at the stove and basically serve everybody else and then sit down on their own afterwards. I mean, that does not happen anymore in my house or anybody else's, I hope.
If you were in a situation where you and your friends are all sat around either a big round naan bread or a big paella, and you're all eating from the outside and you meet in the middle and do a big Lady and the Tramp, all of you at the same time, who would be the people that you would most like to do that with? Minimum three other people, but you can add more if you want to.
Oh, okay. So Frida Kahlo.
Yes.
Who nice. I blooming love and still on my bucket list. I was meant to go this year, but for obvious reasons I didn't, is to visit her house in Mexico. Joni Mitchell, who is my favourite musician. Nina Simone, because I think she'd just be fascinating and I could get her to sing to everyone and that would be amazing. Mm. Can I have those three, please?
For me, that's a very strong characters. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd
absolutely love to be at that meal. And you're all Lady and the Tramping at the end, remember?
Was that a question?
No, just making sure you remember it.
Oh, I see.
Making sure you remember that this isn't...
That's James is giving you another... Because you picked very strong characters who would be wonderful to have a conversation with, but I think James is just reminding you that you're all going to have a big kiss in the middle of a paella at the end of the evening. So.
Oh, I don't mind kissing any of those women.
I think
right. Yeah.
It'd be lovely.
I would like Frida Kahlo's moustache to tickle my lips. That would be very exciting.
Yes.
And I could stroke her monobrow, and that would also be very exciting.
Frida getting a lot of attention there, and the Lady in the Tramp kiss. The other two getting a bit jealous. Anita Simone would not stand for that.
She would not. She'd be stamping her foot.
Yeah.
Interesting, though, coming onto the side dish, though, isn't it? Because the paella is one of those dishes that is its own thing, completely all-encompassing meal. You don't really need a side dish with paella necessarily. But, of course, this is the dream restaurant, so you can have whatever you damn please, Mira.
Mm-hmm. I would like samphire.
Oh, yes.
And I think that would go very well with paella.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I've only discovered samphire recently because, you know, I didn't eat a prawn till I was 18. I was very slow to a lot of culinary things because you just didn't eat them in the Midlands. I remember my first prawn. It was at the Acropolis Greek restaurant in Walsall near the bus station. And I thought, I've arrived. Prawn. So samphire I only discovered, oh gosh, really recently, maybe about 8-9 years ago in Brighton. Someone took me to this amazing fish restaurant and said, they ordered some. I said, what is that? And they went, darling, you don't know what samphire is? I said, no. And I ate it and I thought, I'm eating the sea. This just tastes of the sea in the nicest way, not in a gritty, you know, muscly way, but just the freshness and the crispness. And you hardly need to cook it. You just sort of tickle it a bit in hot oil, a bit of lemon juice and garlic and you're off. Mm. And it's just the best flavour. And it's fresh. It just always... And it's full of iron. It's good for you.
It feels like it's good for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? When you eat it, you're like, this is delicious, but also it feels like it's doing me some good.
Yeah.
It feels like I've been for a swim.
Yeah, exactly. And I love swimming. So, yeah. So I think it would go well with paella as well, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
Fishy theme, yes.
Oh, I love it. Really, the main place I have samphire is cricket. We've got a cricket sometimes, and they do this like deep fried kind of samphire. It's very nice, but it doesn't really taste of the sea because they deep fry it and like it comes with some sauce and stuff. But I had some proper nice fresh tasting stuff at Shrimpster before we did our off-menu live shows at the Royal Festival Hall. There was some food market outside. And there's a place called Shrimpster that did all like shrimp stuff. And I got the Shrimpster burger that had like a bunch of deep fried shrimp in it and then loads of samphire in a burger. It was so delicious,
that
really tasty
amazing.
With some, I think the sauce had like sriracha kind of mayo sauce. It was amazing. And Ed got, what did you get, Ed? Sex in a pot or something?
It wasn't called sex in a pot. No, I think there was sex in the name, but it was just the deep fried shrimp that were in a pot. But then
it was called
also
a shrimp to sex pot, I think.
It wasn't called sex in a pot, though, which was your initial guess. So I just
wanted to it was called something similar. It had the word sex and pot in it.
I just wanted to let Mira know that I didn't specifically pick a dish called sex in a pot, which sounds sounds awful.
I was wondering, did you have to put your car keys in a bowl before you chose it?
In the pot, yeah, it's a big pot in the middle of the food market. Yes, I had some sex in a pot, but then also I had another dinner as well. So I double dinnered that night.
He double dinnered because he got something else, and then he came and met me outside Shrimpster and went, oh, that looks nice, actually. Yeah. And he got jealous. So then he ordered himself a second dinner, and then he really regretted it before even eating either one of them. Oh, no, why have I done this? And then ate both of them.
Yeah.
Food envy is horrible, though, isn't it? I hate food envy. Really, when you order something and someone else's dish comes, you go, oh, no, I've made a terrible mistake.
Which I guess is the other joy of the big communal foods, is that you've all got the same thing. So you can't have food envy unless someone's got too many mussels on their side of the paella, which is annoying me already just imagining it.
Oh, that's a point. Are there mussels in this paella?
I'm not mega keen on mussels, I have to say.
I think there's too much hassle. Mussels aren't worth the hassle.
Yeah, I don't think so. And it's horrible when they're sandy. It just ruins everything. Just get grit under your teeth. Don't like it. Well, obviously, those amazing big gambas, those incredible, huge Mediterranean prawns you get. A lot of that. I love squid. Throwing some squid. Yeah. I'd enjoy that too. I used to like octopus, but I can't eat it anymore.
Why not?
Because since that film, my octopus teacher, I just couldn't eat an octopus now.
I liked that film.
They're just really too intelligent to be like eating a dolphin. You just couldn't do it.
What if a film came out tomorrow on Netflix about a prawn that's got a degree?
Do you know, that would probably stop me eating prawns as well. God damn it.
It's just going to, by the end, this is just going to be a rice paella, isn't it? And just praying that it doesn't turn out that rice is clever.
Yeah.
You know what the weird thing about that octopus film was?
Yeah.
Is that at the end, when the octopus, spoiler alert, if you've not seen My Octopus Teacher, at the end, the octopus gets killed by some baddie fish or a shark or something. And the guy just watches it and lets it happen, because that's the code of like documentarians. You have to just watch it, let it happen, don't interfere. But for the whole film, he is hanging out with that octopus, like interacting with it constantly and interfere. Like his whole, when he gets something out of it, and it's his friendship with the octopus and he loves it, makes him feel good. He's hanging out with the octopus, touching the octopus, letting the octopus latch onto his arm, swimming around with it, playing with the octopus, doing all this stuff. Then the octopus gets beaten by a shark. He's like, well, I mustn't interfere. No, you're scared of a shark, mate. That's what's going on. And you're letting your friend get ripped to shreds. And now you're going to win an Academy Award for it. If I met him, I'd punch him in the head.
Very aggressive today, James.
Yeah.
Yeah, because mentioned Stephen Graham earlier on.
Yeah.
That's why.
You're not hangry. Are you hangry?
Maybe I'm a little bit hangry, but also I remembered Stephen Graham slamming Ramesh on Jonathan Ross, and I remembered I owe him a piece of my mind.
I think you and Stephen Graham need to go for a big paella, James, and just eyeball each other for the whole thing while you're eating your way into the middle, and then have a lovely old big kiss in the middle.
Oh, there'd be some muscles in that paella pretty quickly, because we'd both be swimming around in it having a big old fight. These muscles, these guns. That'd be all in amongst the paella.
Yeah. We knew what you meant. When you said the muscles thing, we knew what you were talking about.
Huh?
But thanks for, we knew what you meant, but thanks for flagging it up.
Well, I wasn't getting the support that I thought I was going to get from it. If Stephen Graham ever comes on this podcast, I'm going to let him do his menu. I'm going to say, you're not having any of that. I'll tell you what you're having for dinner. A knuckle sandwich, mate.
He's going to hear this, you know.
Yeah, he's never coming on this podcast.
I hope he does hear it.
He's the sweetest man. He really is.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see. We'll see how sweet he is. Well, I'm finished with him.
This first prawn that you had at the Acropolis in Walsall, near the bus station, Mira.
Yeah.
Why did you pick the prawn? Did you think, I've never had a prawn before, this is going to be my big moment to have a prawn? And do you remember how the first prawn tasted and how it was prepared?
It was a prawn cocktail because it was, you know, the 80s, so of course it was a prawn cocktail. You know, hanging out the jar with a little bit of pink mayonnaise and the bits of lettuce.
Yeah.
And I just thought, it's time. I'm 18. I've really got to do this. Got to eat a prawn. I mean, there were probably, you know, frozen prawns that had just been defrosted, but didn't matter to me. I just thought, because I hardly ate any fish growing up. We had fish fingers, but, you know, you tend to cook the food that your mum cooks, and that is influenced by the region you grew up in. So my friends that lived in bits of India by the sea ate loads of fish, like South Indians, but I'm North Indian, Punjabi, landlocked. And so a lot of our food was vegetarian, actually, occasional bit of chicken, but never fish. So fish was an unknown thing to me. And I don't know, maybe that's why it's one of my favourite things now, because I feel I have a lot of fish years to catch up on.
And I guess the cuisine is from a landlocked place, so not a lot of fish. And then, of course, then you're living in the Midlands.
Even more
also landlocked as well, even more landlocked. So you're not going to get fresh prawns unless they've come straight off the bus.
In all sorts. Well, yeah. We were in the bus station.
Yeah, exactly. So right
convenient.
Next to where the prawns were coming in.
Yeah. Just got this image of all these prawns getting off the bus. Ready for a night out in Walsall.
Your dream drink.
I'm going to be really boring and not choose an alcoholic drink, but I will choose the drink, and I love this drink because it's like a pudding. It's Rose Lassi, yeah. Rose favourite Lassi, and you get it at Dishoom. See, I'm giving them a name check again, but whenever I go to Dishoom, that's what I have. Now, you probably know what Lassi is. It's a yoghurt-based drink, and you can have the healthy version, which is without sugar and flavouring, and it's just sort of, you know, actually salty. Yoghurt mixed with water. This is the naughty version, which has yummy things in it. I love rose flavour anyway. It's a very particular thing. Some people can't stand it. Turkish delighty kind of flavour. I love it. And there's something about this lassi that they make. It's just gorgeous and very filling. So I order it, but I sort of have it as a pudding, even though it's a drink, because it's really filling.
And would you like it in a giant fish bowl, and then everyone sits around with a big straw and you all drink it down? Because I feel like everything else is communal now, right?
So you're right, but I might draw the line at my lassi.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I might get a bit territorial about that.
Yeah.
Joni's looking a bit offended.
Yeah, Joni's not happy.
She's like, what? I forgot about Joni. Joni will be having a whiskey, for God's sake.
Now, we had one of our earlier episodes, series 1 years ago now. Krishnan Guru Murphy was our guest, and he chose a mango lassi. Mm. And Ed and I were like, oh, yeah, we love mango lassis. And he was like, you pronounce it lassi? That's the way it's pronounced. And then since then, Ed, it's more of a question for you almost, Ed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've not. So then throughout my life now, since then, I say lassi. And sometimes it's become one of those things where if ever I'm talking to friends or at a restaurant and someone says, I might get a mango lassi, actually, I do that passive aggressive thing where I go, yeah, well, I also might get a lassi. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. So now all your friends go, even so, James always repeats it and changes the way he says it. And then he never orders one. He never wants one. He just always says he might get one specifically to correct me and then never gets one. I don't think I've said lassi out loud since that episode. I've never ordered one still. I can't believe it.
My gosh, you should try it. It's really nice. Yeah. And there's
sounds
so many
so
flavors.
Delicious. The rose lassi sounds really good. Mm. I'm going to tell my girlfriend about that. She wouldn't have it because she loves rose stuff. But get this, Mira, she's scared of yoghurt.
How can you be scared of yoghurt?
You know, I've got no idea. I've petrified this. Of it. Absolutely petrified of yoghurt.
The look of it, the smell of it?
The smell of it, the look of it, just the way it is, the texture of it.
Would she know that a lassi was made of yoghurt?
Yes, I think she would know. Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's a bit like a milkshake, really, when you get it. You couldn't tell it was yoghurt.
Yeah, she knows. She knows when yoghurt's hiding around the corner. Yeah, she can sense yoghurt. Yeah.
My goodness. I know how she feels, though. I'm a bit like that about skin. The skin on things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that must be awful every morning when you wake up.
I like my skin. The skin on top of boiled milk or a custard or actually makes me heave. I can't bear how it looks.
I love custard.
Forget about the taste. I wouldn't let it anywhere near me.
Yeah. I could eat a whole bag. I could eat a whole bag of custard skin. If you gave it to me, bits of custard skin like crisps, I'd just eat it.
That's what you do, isn't it? If Stephen Graham was looking you right in the eye, you just to freak him out, you just eat a whole bag of custard skin.
Yeah, I eat a whole bag of custard skin. I'll go, problem?
How can you? It's the texture, it's, oh gosh.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mira. I'm not on board with that. I think I want, because it just means it's been sitting there for a while, right? The custard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a sign that it should have been dealt with.
I just remembered the last time I had a lassi, actually. It was in lockdown. and I ordered a takeaway, and I ordered a lassi on it because I was feeling in the mood. But what was annoying about that is that just me in my flat, I didn't get the chance to say it and show that I knew how to say it. So when the delivery guy dropped it round, I got it off him. And I said, just to check, there's the lassi's in here, right? And he was like, yeah. I was like, good, just checking that the lassi was in here. Goodbye.
The thing is, it's not impressive. It's not impressive for a start. And then it's even less impressive when there's no one there saying it wrong. So yes. You would have needed someone else there to say, is the lassi in there? You go, I'll check if the lassi's in there. Yeah. Sorry about them.
Yeah, should have told my girlfriend to say that. When he comes, yeah. I want you to shout from the living room, make sure he's remembered the lassi, and I'll say, she means the lassi.
And I'm imagining you wearing a Nehru collar when you do that. I know it's called lassi. She loves Iron Maiden, if you know what I mean.
Iron Maiden fan. That drinks us. I haven't had a rose one ever. Is it rose or rose one? Rose.
It's not rose one.
Rose.
Imagine a rose lassi. Would you turn that down?
I think I would. I don't think wine and yogurt mix. Call me old-fashioned, but I think maybe not.
I think I'm with you, Mira. I agree that wine and yogurt don't mix.
Disagreed over here. If someone started releasing wine-flavoured yogurts, I would try one at least.
Would you?
Yeah, and all the different types of wine and all that, a Malbec yogurt, a Shiraz yogurt. I would give it a go. I mean,
champagne yog, I'd probably give a go.
Mira, would champagne you have a champagne yog?
Cherry liqueur yogurt might be nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
It would curdle, though. Yeah. How could you keep it from curdling?
I guess you'd have to maybe store it like a fruit corner, have the cherry liqueur in the little corner, and then the yogurt, and then mix tip it in at the last minute.
But then it would curdle in your stomach.
Yeah, I guess.
Which is even worse.
But
I guess
food's doing all sorts of stuff in our stomachs after we eat it,
and then you
right?
poo cheese.
that might be, in an apocalyptic situation.
That's just the logical... That's how it would go, right?
If Ed pooed cheese, he thought he would die to gone to heaven.
Yeah.
He would absolutely love it.
Like the ultimate Pez dispenser. I'd love that.
Yeah. He'd pooing straight onto a cracker.
Yeah. I'd do all the different types. Blue poo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great. I'd love it.
Smoky poo.
Honestly, if I could guarantee that it was just pure 100% cheese.
Yes.
I think that's my dream superpower.
Yeah, of course it is.
So glad we had this conversation.
You said poo cheese. Hey.
I did, didn't I?
Can't blame two little boys for...
I blame myself.
...for getting carried away.
Yeah,
I know. I should really not have gone there.
Well, let's move on to your dessert now that I'm sure you feel like you'd really like to imagine a pudding now after that chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do feel free, Mira, if you don't want anything sweet, you can have a poo board.
I can have a poo board.
Might as well be.
Do you know, I think I'll go for the dessert. This is easy because I do have a favourite dessert and it's an eaten mess.
Oh, yeah.
I love meringue. Oh, my gosh. Yes. But I hate dry meringue. Mm. I will not eat a dry. If it's floury or dry, forget it. It's not meringue. It's got to have that chewy, not quite cooked centre. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And then I wouldn't want too much cream. And I've had really nice eaten messes without cream. I've had it with yogurt, weirdly enough, like vanilla yogurt, or because you make a healthy version. And then really nice summer fruits. And what's really nice in eaten mess is a bit of passion fruit because it's a bit tart and it mixes well with the sweetness of the meringue. My mouth's watering.
Yeah, lovely.
I really love that pudding.
Do you know, eat a mess was invented when someone had a pavlova in the Midlands and someone asked for a bite of it and they went, yeah, here you go. And then they smashed it all up and went, here you go, help yourself. Help yourself to some. True story.
Yeah.
That true is story. Quite brilliant rounding up. You waited, you queued it up and you went for it. And hats off, sir.
Thank you very much. Not enough people come on this podcast and... give credit where it's due and recognise the greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
It is good you saved it after the whole poo cheese thing. I'm glad you brought it back round. That would have been an awful taste to leave in the mouth.
Yeah. It's an awful image for people to imagine. You pooing directly onto a cheese board. But, the eaten mess is nice. I think for me, eaten mess is delicious and people have chosen it on the podcast before and often gets, people tear up by saying it's just objectively the best dessert as well. It's one of the ones that people who love it just see it as, why would you ever choose anything else? For me, I wish that it didn't have the word eaten in it, because it just reminds me of the worst people in the world. So I would like to change the name. I think we should lobby for to have the name changed. That would be good.
Yeah.
Well, which area institution would you like to call this?
Yeah, after? Maybe Kettering
Mess.
Well, yeah, Kettering.
The thing is, the mess, really, wherever you change it to, the mess seems like an insult now, doesn't it?
Yeah, because Eton Mess is just like, you know, a posh kid who's a bit scruffy being like, what am I like?
Yeah.
I'm a right mess today. Whereas, yeah, call anyone else a mess, it's like, you fucking, what are you saying about
this? Is this you throwing down the glove to, are you going to call it a Stephen Graham mess?
He would be in a mess when I finish. I tell you what.
I'm telling you, it's going to get back to him. I'm just telling you.
I hope it does. I tell you what, I'm delivering this first class to him. That's what you get when you make fun of Ramesh or Jonathan Ross.
We could call it a Romesh.
Oh, lovely. Yes. I like that.
Lovely.
Romesh.
I would love to call it that, definitely.
And then it becomes something nice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you want to put any? Would you like to put any mango in it? Because then we can call it a Romesh Manga Nathan.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I would. Just because of that. But also, I have had mango in Eton Mess, and it's great.
Oh, good. Well, that's perfect then. I'm glad Brilliant. The pun and the dish
that's
works.
What we've done.
Oh, what a lovely! That's a lovely meal. I'm going to read back your menu to you now, and
go on.
We'll see how you feel about it. Always nice to hear it back. Water. You want sparkling water with ice and thinly cut slices of lime. Poppadoms of bread, you chose a warm crusty roll or a French baguette with butter. Starter, chart from Dishoom. Main course, seafood paella from the Barcelona Beach Restaurant. Side of samphire and drink, rose lassie. Rose, fuck, I said lassie. I can't believe it. I can't believe this.
You did.
I can't believe
you did.
Oh, Benito definitely won't edit that out because it makes me look like an idiot. I'm dead.
So sorry, James. Yes, Lassie. I believe it's called Lassie.
Oh, thank you, Ed.
No worries. At least you know now.
Most Lassie from Dishoom. Dessert. You want a raw mess mango Nathan with some passion fruit as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Very happy with that.
Oh,
menu.
That sounds absolutely delicious. That is a great menu. Mira, thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant. That's a wonderful menu. Thank you very much for talking to us. And I can't apologize enough about the poo board.
What a note to end on.
Cheers, Mira. Well, there we are. A wonderful menu from Mira. Lovely to listen to you absolutely sign your death warrant over the course of the podcast.
As if. I'll sign a death warrant, not my own.
Mm,
I think
yours,
you know
mate.
Whose death warrant I just signed.
You're going down. He's going to eat you.
Oh,
he's going to take you down and eat you.
Oh, best of luck. If he eats me, I'm going to beat him up from the inside, from his stomach.
We will all look forward to watching that, of course. Thank you very much, Mira, for coming to the Dream Restaurant. Wonderful stuff.
Thank you so
very
much.
Delicious menu. I do want to eat that now.
Yeah, really delicious. And everyone, make sure you watch Series 2 of Code 404, a Sky original, all episodes available from the 1st of September, which means that it's already out.
Yes.
On Sky Comedy and on Now.
It's available now. On Now.
Yeah, very clever that they called it that, actually.
That's worked out quite well for them, actually.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else to say, James? She didn't pick in English, I suppose.
Yeah, thank you for not picking in English, Mira.
Yeah. It would have been a shock if she had, though.
Imagine she'd just, like, for a laugh, gone, my main course is a nod to one of my most famous sketches that I did with Goodness Gracious Me. And we'd be like, well, okay.
Could I have the blandest thing on the menu, please?
Yes.
We'd be like, that's a lovely callback, Mira. But you do know how to leave. Thank you very much for listening to Off Menu. We will be back next week with another hot, steaming podcast.
Wash your plates.
Bye.
Hello, my name's Rob Orton, and I do the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. The Rob Orton Daily Podcast is a daily podcast that is quite short. Some are 2 minutes long, some are 10 minutes long, and they are stories and poems and basically all the thoughts I've ever had that I like enough to want to share with people. And the Rob Orton podcast is available on Apple, Acast, Spotify, all the other places where you normally get your podcasts. And on social media, it is at Rob Orton Podcast. Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.